Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Think about what we're saying before we say it.
Amen.
So,
We're going to finish that up. So let us open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, God, for another privilege, another opportunity to come together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen and women that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and that this will be done to your glory. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 And so when we were looking at this last week, Sheila G., in the first chapter, in verse 26, it says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridle not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man religion is vain. Mm-hmm. So in other words, if you're not practicing what you preach, you're not fooling anybody. And that's the whole thing. It's like you're not fooling anybody, and particularly not fooling God.
Mm-hmm.
You're fooling, you can fool some of the people some of the times. You can't fool all the people all the time.
Yeah.
And you definitely can't fool God. Definitely be not deceived. He is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that's what he shall also reap.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at verse 26, he says, and when we were talking about this last week, Dr. G, the word man in verse 23 talks about the male.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about how the male has a tendency to be forgetful of what's going on. In other words, his mind doesn't stay engaged to continue to do the work of God. It's like he'll start off doing something,
mm-hmm.
but then he'll fall by.
Amen.
And then the woman will come in and pick it up, and then she'll try to carry hers and his.
Right.
And so then he talks bad about the woman. He said the woman's trying to do too much. And the woman's telling him he ain't doing. I know it's not.
Ain't a word.
But ain't for the. He ain't doing what he's supposed to be doing. And so here you have this dilemma of the male forgetting what he's supposed to be doing. So James, in this particular chapter, he's telling us that we have to be careful to practice what we preach. We have to be careful that to walk by faith, to carry out God's word, and make sure that we're not just talking a good game, but we're living a good game.
That's right.
That's the key. And so when we look at it in verse 26, and it says, seems, if any among you seems to be religious, in other words, folk will watch you. Particularly on your job, particularly in church, particularly in your neighborhood.
Amen.
If you go into church or you got the Jesus stuff on your car, these Jesus stickers on your car, you talk about the Lord all the time, and you seem to be religious, folk going to check you out.
Right.
They're going to check your walk out. They're going to check your talk out. They're going to check you in good times, bad times. They want to see your performances work. They want to see if you're lazy at work.
Right.
They want to see if you're lazy at church. They want to see if you're actually treating your kids right, how you treat your husband. They want to see if you gossip all the time.
That's right.
They want to see all these things. And if you seem religious, they want to know. But you got to practice what you preach. And
mm-hmm.
and so, you know, he says in verse 27, he says, now let's get down to, you know, what really, you know, is pure religion. Really, religion is something that you do over and over again consistently.
Right.
Religion is not what's going to save you.
That's right. That's right.
Lord have mercy. Religion is not going to save you. You can religiously eat fish on Friday, every Friday.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But it's not gonna save you.
That's right.
Amen.
It's just something that you do out of the habit. It's a regiment.
Right. You can religiously come to church every Sunday.
Right. But if your heart's not right, it's not gonna. You know, there's no change in your life, and you won't see that change.
Right. And so when he says true religion, undefiled before God, in other words, something that you're doing the right way, religiously doing it the right way. That if you're going to be religiously Christian or have Christian characters, Christian values, if you're going to religiously demonstrate those, he says it needs to include some things where you're not looking out for yourself, but you're looking out for those who are who may be less fortunate than you.
Right.
Those who might not have the things that you have.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the Christian is one who looks out for his brother.
Right.
And treats his brother like himself.
That's right.
That's a kingdom principle.
That's right.
And so he says, pure religion undefiled before God is and the Father is this in verse 27. James 1:27, it says to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In other words, to look after those who don't have fathers and those who don't have a husband. Because if you don't have a father and you don't have a husband, in this particular instance, you have no way of surviving. No. Because the male, I don't know what happened now.
Come on, the covering.
Hello. Is the covering and what's the provider.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Provides the covering. Provides the covering.
And so what they're saying here is that this is true religion. When you're looking for those who need help, that needs that male figure, that needs that man to step in to do what a male can only do for the wife and for
the children.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But too many times, the men, you find them on the sideline doing their own thing.
Right.
They
want to be treated like a child to a certain extent, taken care of like a child, but not treated like a child.
And so Dr. Gregory, what James goes on to say, he says, not only should you step up and be a man, look out for those who are less fortunate, help out with the fatherless, help out with the widows.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the key right here.
Hmm.
He says, and to keep himself unspotted from the world.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness.
Hmm. That means you got to give some stuff up.
Amen.
Your flesh desires.
Oh, Talk to me.
That means that you have to give some things up that your flesh desires.
Give me an example.
Well, your flesh may desire to be with every woman that you see that looks good.
Wait a minute. You didn't say that louder. Say that again.
I said your flesh may desire to be with every woman that looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. It.
Right. But you have to give that up because that's not what's good for you, and that's not going to help you be a father to the fatherless.
Mm.
Because then the Satan will distract you from what God wants you to do to help others. Because you are leaning on that flesh and not on the spirit, which is why we have to crucify the flesh every day.
So Dr. G, unspotted from the world. James is not pulling any punches.
No.
He's just making it plain and simple. So I'm going to deal with the folk in the pulpit.
I'm going to preach.
So the preacher can't be the preacher.
Come on now.
That's what James was probably
similar to that, right?
Amen.
That's what he's saying.
Amen. But if you think about it, why would he have to put that in there? And why would we even have to think about the pulpit? Because it's going on.
Right.
Everything that's got a title or in the pulpit is not of God.
Spotted.
And the title tends to go to their head to think, okay, I've arrived now, so I can do my own thing. But God is every day you guys have to crucify that flesh. And every day I want you to be a father to the fatherless and to the widows.
And keep yourself
unspotted.
James is sitting there looking these folk in their eye, looking us in the eye, said, set the example.
Right.
He said, I'm talking to you, man.
Come on.
He said, don't look around anywhere else. I'm talking to you. You know how people talk, man, so and so should have been here. No, you should have
been here.
Hello. Come on.
I'm talking to you, man.
Amen.
That's who I'm talking to. I'm talking to you. Don't look around.
That's right.
Don't think about so and so situation. I'm talking to you. You need to keep yourself unspotted.
Amen.
You need to practice what you preach. You need to look after someone who is less fortunate than you.
Right.
You need to stop complaining about, man, the world going to hell in the handbasket,
right,
and all these kids doing this, doing that. Why aren't you doing something about it?
That's right.
Hello.
That's right.
Hello.
And then we don't. Our egos get in the way, so we always want to look at the other person, but we never take a look at ourselves to understand that we're not perfect and we're not where we need to be. Okay, Lord, before I start trying to tell them what they need to do, help me to be what I need to be, and then I can help somebody else.
James, I love James because he's not saying I'm the great this, I'm the great this.
Right.
He's saying I'm a servant, I'm a change just like it
right.
is. You need to get this in your spirit. You need to get it right. You need to be unspotted. You need to be taking care of people that you said that is your neighbor, particularly the boys that don't have fathers, the widows that don't have someone to help them with the boys.
Right.
See, a lot of times, if you have the widows with the boys, they can't play the role of the father.
Right.
You're supposed to be able to show them God and show them direction, but how are you going to show them direction
when you're not living right?
Sideways?
That's right.
Amen.
If you're not living right.
And you need direction yourself.
You walking sideways, running down the road, sitting up in somebody's pulpit, talking about the Lord said. Oh, my God.
But it doesn't apply to me.
Oh, my God. Looking at you. No, he can't.
Mm-hmm. No, he can't. It's just like, say, do as I say, not as I do.
And everybody in the church rolling their eyes.
Come on.
Right.
Because it's like this dude sitting up there talking this, talking that,
mm-hmm.
and his underwear is just dragging the ground.
Amen.
Oh, Lord.
And he's not living right.
And he's not living right.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what James is saying. So he's saying you need to get that right. You need to get it right. You need to get your tongue right, like we talked about last week.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get your act right on how you're going to demonstrate God working in you.
Amen.
By doing these three things, by being unspotted. And God said he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. So in other words, he said, keep yourself unspotted from the world. In other words, don't try to tell people that you're religious and you this and you that and you're in the church and you're preaching this and you that. And then they see you acting just like the world.
Amen.
Oh my goodness.
You shouldn't have to say it. Someone mm-hmm. should see that you're a Christian by your work, by the way you
right.
work and what you
right.
do, not by
exactly.
what you're saying I am.
And by the way you carry yourself.
Yeah.
Right. That's the best testimony. Your life mm-hmm. is the best testimony
Amen.
To help to encourage somebody else. It's how you live and how you behave and how you handle adversity.
Exactly. And this is what James is saying. And that's going to close out chapter one for us. But James doesn't take his foot off the gas pedal in chapter 2.
No, he doesn't.
There must have been, like you said, Dr. G, some stuff going on back
yeah,
there, just like there's some stuff going on right now.
It had to be said.
And that's mm-hmm. why we say, T-Nuts, there's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
It's because the same foolishness
yeah.
that they were doing back there is
still
the same
going
foolishness
on
that we're doing right here. And he's talking about folk in the church.
Yeah.
Amen.
How are we going to minister or
draw
people
other people
to Christ or let the light of God shine through us if we got the old blue light on in the basement?
Yeah,
no. We ain't shining no light. We got the disco light on, the blue light, the red light, trying to do the things of the world.
Depending on who's coming over.
Mm.
And not demonstrating, you know, what God says we shouldn't do in the word. So he picks up in chapter 2 and he talks about partiality. This is one thing that will wreck a church is if you have partiality in the church.
Mm-hmm.
We call them cliques.
Right.
Amen.
So it's okay for these folk over here to cut up and act a fool.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're in that group right there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it's not okay for those folk to cut up and act a fool.
Right.
So partiality is like, well, you know what? They're going to act that way and they can get away with it. But if I say someone do something, then it's a problem.
Right.
And so that not only in the church, not only in your family,
mm-hmm.
you can't do that in the church, you can't do that in your family, you
right.
can't do it with your children, you can't do it on job, on
Amen.
Your job. You can't be partial like that, because what it does is it sets up two different standards, and what that does is it pits the people in the organization against each other.
Amen.
Right.
Because they think that one has favoritism,
mm-hmm.
and that one can do well, because he's the pastor, so he can do that, or he, because he's the deacon's son, or he can do that, and the rest of us got to do this. Now, and God said this would create division and confusion in the church. So again, there's nothing new under the sun. The same foolishness that was going on back there is the same foolishness that's going on right here. So he starts chapter 2 with his foot on the gas. In chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "My brethren, have not faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to person."
Mm-hmm.
So he's
mm-hmm.
saying God doesn't have respect to person,
mm-hmm.
and he's God.
Right.
In other words, he's treating everybody the same.
Amen.
That's right. Consistent.
Consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are, you know, we're going to treat people a little different. It's mm-hmm. like, well, that person might be, you know, putting more money in the bank.
Dr. G. You're talking about your brethren again.
And because they put you know, 50 cents more in the basket, then we're going to allow them to have a nice seat up front, nice parking space in the front of the parking lot, and we allow them to come and go as they please.
Work like that.
Favoritism.
And what is that? What is that? the people in the church? What does it say to the other people?
Well, it tells them that you're not loving me because of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
You're loving me based off what I can do for you or what makes you happy, and it shouldn't be about you. It should be about what God is commanding all of us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if one needs to be corrected, we all need to be corrected.
Hello.
And we're not supposed to hold back that correction.
Mm.
Because I would be wrong if I don't make that correction, if I don't say, okay, this is what you need to do to draw closer to the Lord, because I don't want to upset you because I don't want you to leave the church.
Right.
It's not about the church. It's about God. And if it's enough to get you out of the church and get you out of there and say, okay, Lord, now get it, then so be it.
Oh,
but I have to tell you what God says.
Say that again.
That's a mouthful. That was, I can't really say it.
Stuff. That was good stuff. That was good stuff. And so when you have these cliques in the church, it really creates a lot of confusion.
Yes,
and you have, it's like you have the haves and the have
nots.
It's like, you know, the light-skinned church folk and the dark-skinned church folk.
Yeah. Oh, with the house and the out the field.
Yeah.
The big eyes and the little
house Negro and the field Negro.
Okay, yeah, right. That word.
Right. And then you have the curly head folk and the nappy head folk.
Come on.
Huh?
That's right. But God is not a respecter
person.
He does
right?
not care about that. He cares about what's in your heart.
But they were, Dr. G, they were doing that foolishness back then.
Which is why he's talking about it.
And we're still dealing with it
still
now.
Still dealing with it now.
And the devil knows that.
So that's why he plants
that in there. And that's why we need to be in deep prayer and be really close to the Lord to understand I can't look at all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I have to listen to what the Lord is telling me to do as a leader in the church and just be honest.
Yeah.
And not worry about, oh, it might hurt so-and-so's feelings.
Well, that means sometimes you might just have to bless the whole church at it.
Yeah, exactly. From the pulpit to the door.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Cover everybody.
And so,
you know, James is talking about this conduct, and he gives this example that's so typical. It's like if somebody come into the church and they, you know, they driving a certain thing, they come in with a suit or so-and-so, they've got to be important.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to be so-and-so. We're going to bring them and sit them up front.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the, that's why one of my pet peeves is judging other people.
Yeah.
That's one of my big things is you cannot judge someone by looking at them.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And we're not supposed to judge anyway. That's God's job.
Amen.
We're supposed to help you to become closer to Christ. And you can't come closer to Christ if I treat you bad.
Amen.
They're going to be like, you know what? I can be out in the world and be ignored.
And get beat up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Exactly.
And you know, that's part of what's wrong with our society and why we can't get folk inside the church. Because you got all this other stuff going in from the pulpit to the door. And all these little potentates, titles, and these bishops and all this other stuff. And they got this 1,000-member church and they getting all this. And you got the little pole church down here trying to hold on. And everybody's trying to live up to them titles.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's not about none of that
junk.
It's
not about the title.
Oh, my goodness.
So not about the title.
So let's look. James got his foot on the gas. He's burning up some rubber. In 2 chapter, verse 2, he says, "For there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring." He blinging.
Mm-hmm.
In goodly apparel. Mm-hmm. That is $800 suit
clean.
On.
Clean.
Mm-hmm.
$800 shoe.
Clean.
And there come also a poor man in vile raiment.
Mm-hmm.
Just got out of work. Got his little, you know,
has what
jeans
he has.
And whatever mm-hmm. on, right?
Right.
And this is how they treat folk in the church in verse 3. "And you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place." Come on right up here, Dr. Soul. You got to be a doctor. A bishop.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Reverend somebody.
Mm.
"And say to the poor, stand over there and sit under my footstool."
Under my footstool.
Mm-hmm. What
in other words, I'm going to look down on you.
Amen.
Because of the way you look. And I don't know. Maybe that's the last piece of clothes that you were able to have on. But you brought yourself into the church, which is supposed to be the hospital for sin sick souls.
Supposed to.
But that's the mentality of our people. And, well, it was the mentality back then.
Right.
And it still is.
To look down
only
on
in
people.
A 21st century sort of way. That's what we think.
It's crazy.
It's not Christ-like.
No, it's not.
Our conduct is not Christ-like.
Mm-mm. It's not Christ-like.
And so the fella with the pimp suit on couldn't be there to rob the church.
True.
Create some confusion.
Or he could
be. The devil dressed up.
Or he could be a pimp.
Yeah.
Amen.
The devil dressed up. And then the person with the regular clothes on, faithful,
right.
Come to help,
mm-hmm.
volunteer,
yeah.
whatever.
Amen.
And humble.
And now you got this guy, come on up here, sit up here. This is this. They look scum. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with dressing the best you,
right.
the way you can.
To the best of your ability.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with dressing nice. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. Let me make that perfectly clear. There's nothing wrong with that.
What is wrong is if someone is not able to do that and you look down on them for it.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
What's wrong.
Exactly. And so don't look down on a man that has the jeans and the sweatshirt on.
Amen.
That might be the best he has.
Come on now.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And if you're that bothered by it, take him out shopping, buy him clothes.
All right, now I'm going to go meddling. Here I go. Young lady coming to the church.
Here we go.
You got the long skirt on.
Mm-hmm.
You got everything up. You tight and got everything. No skin, nothing showing. You not distracting anybody. She come in. Her girlfriend invited her to church, and she just left the nightclub. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And she got nightclub clothing on.
Hello.
Okay.
Skimpy.
Okay.
Skimpy. Right?
Right.
You got some females in the church that were attack her because she came in from the nightclub with Skimpy on.
Amen.
And it distracted her man.
All right now. All right.
And they shouldn't be there all concerned about their man. And if that person was really their man,
uh-oh.
Their man would not be distracted.
Uh-oh.
And if you're doing what you're supposed to do as his woman, your man will not be distracted.
Mm-mm.
Ooh.
I'm feeling much better now.
I see that.
I have a different perspective on life after nearly losing mine.
Amen. And so how are you supposed to treat it? She's coming with one of the young ladies in the church. She said, come to my church. You know, she said, you know, I'm tired of hanging out. I'm tired of doing
mm-hmm.
the nightlife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to get myself together. She calls her with her girlfriend. Girl said, won't you come with me to church? We're going to pray for you. We're going to ask God to work in your life. You know, she said, well, I don't have anything to wear. She said, don't worry about it. Come on in. We're going to pray for you. We're going to ask God to come. Yeah, wear what you have. Put on what you have. Or come on with me. You coming to the church. How should we, especially the females, how should they treat her?
We should treat her. Let her know that we're glad that she's there.
Mm-hmm.
Open arm. Loving, no differently than the person that's been coming there on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she starts coming on a regular basis, but she, only thing in her closet is skimpy.
Right.
How would you go about?
Well, that goes back to what I said before, is eventually if the person draws closer and closer to the Lord,
mm-hmm.
then the spirit will encourage them to do whatever they need to do. And if they're in a position where they can't buy anything
right.
that's not so skimpy, if it's, you know, it's up to us to encourage her to say, you know what, I got some stuff in my closet. Why don't you come over to my house? You know, I know I'm around your size to see if there's
mm-hmm.
something that you would like to wear.
Mm-hmm.
But as that person grows, not so much, the person shouldn't want to change because I, as a human and as a flesh person is saying that, okay, you need to make that change. That person should change within the heart.
Mm-hmm.
What they're wearing on the outside,
really
just because,
matter.
What do they call it, a wolf in sheep's clothes?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're wearing on the outside. I would much rather you have that change from the inside out, because once you make that change on the inside, then you will make those types of changes.
And Dr. G, help me out. The gospel preached and taught will cause that to make a change. The Holy Spirit will
yep.
cause
right.
it to make a change.
That is the Holy
yep.
Spirit's job. It is
not
our job.
But if they're
job.
Not receive it,
amen.
Right.
You would have ran them away like,
right.
then they'll never receive it.
Then
they will never receive it and they will never grow. We just talked about it when we were talking about Colossians, about how you have to grow
yeah.
in Christ. And you're not giving that person an opportunity to grow because you want them to come as a full adult Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And they may still be a baby
they'll
in Christ.
Be a baby, right.
And you, when your baby comes out, you don't expect them to go to the bathroom on their own.
I know that's right.
It's like, okay, you know what? No more diapers for you.
But Dr. G, why isn't that mentality in the church? Why are we so unruly when it comes to stuff?
We have, I hate to say, we've been, I don't want to say taught, but something has happened to the church where we think that we're supposed to dress up a certain way. We're supposed to go to church in a certain way.
I like your words.
But, you know, we forget that the Lord says, whosoever will, let him come. And it's not so much with what you wear. Like you were saying, you know, the change has to take place on the inside. And if the Holy Spirit is for real and you've allowed that person or allowed the Spirit to come in, you can see the Spirit working.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then as the church family, it's our job to help the individual, not sit in judgment on them.
Show
and
love.
If we have to go the extra mile of buying something, then so be it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I mean, you know, Jesus was never so all that about what you wear.
Wow.
You know, the Pharisees and the public and all that other stuff, they were on, you know, this uppity, sophisticated stuff. Jesus said, just come as you are.
And talk to people like the woman at the well.
Right.
She had five husbands. And he just talking to her like she needed the gospel.
Right.
But it changed her so much that she went and told everybody in the city.
That's
amen.
Right.
You know, about a man that told me everything I ever did.
Right.
Suppose he would say, nah, I can't be seen with her.
Right.
They're going to be thinking I'm going out with, you know, a prostitute or a married woman, you know, all of this stuff. But he presented the gospel.
Right. And always reminds me when Pastor first became pastor, and the women in the church were always required to wear dresses.
Mm-hmm.
It was a requirement.
Mm.
But I was noticing that some of the younger women were coming from around the neighborhood, and they were coming in for the first time, and they didn't necessarily have a dress. And they were getting the looks that were making them uncomfortable.
Oh, my God.
So I started wearing my pantsuits, the same pantsuits that I wear to work. I started wearing my pantsuits. Well, somebody came to the pastor and said, the first lady's wearing pants on Sunday. And he took out the Bible, and he said, show me where in the Bible it says that a woman cannot wear pants to church on Sunday, and I will tell my wife to stop wearing pants. And I was doing it to help them to feel comfortable. So I was still accomplishing both ways in that I was wearing slacks, but I was still dressed up.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
But I was still wearing slacks so that they could see that, okay, I can grow into this. And I was doing it to help them to feel comfortable and not be conscious of what they had on,
right.
but more conscious of getting that word
mm-hmm.
to help their spirit to grow.
There you go.
But you know, it's that word tradition
mm-hmm.
that has taken, I think, the church all up in the left field, and people forget that it's not about none of that junk.
Mm-hmm.
It's about trying to win souls to Christ.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons why a lot of folks don't want to go to church.
Right.
Exactly.
That's right.
Because you got so many people going to sit in judgment.
And they say, I don't have anything to wear.
Don't have anything to wear. Well, wear what you got. You know, it's about what's in the heart, not what folk wear.
Exactly.
Right. Right, and then what's really bad is when you had people that have been in church for a long time and they forget where they've come from.
Big
and
time.
So when someone else is coming and they're trying to grow and then they're critical of those people, and it's like, you know what, you still have a ways to go yourself.
Right.
And when you first started, you were there as well. So you need to just continue to focus on growing within you
mm-hmm.
and let God handle the rest for someone else. Pray for that person.
Amen. And this is what James is talking about. He's talking about not having a respect of person because, number one, God doesn't have respect of person.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we have the audacity to look at ourselves and see how far God has brought us and then to look down at our nose or
right.
judgment and condemnation to somebody else, you know, because of what they're wearing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, the young man or the young woman, you know, as soon as they come in, you jump on them.
Amen.
You know, they're never coming back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, the guy, he's wearing his pants sagging. He comes in with his pants mm-hmm. sagging, you know, and with his hat on, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you jump all over him.
And there's a way to talk to people without making them feel small. There's a way to talk to people.
There is.
And sometimes we forget about that because, again, we've become so important.
And the thing is, hey, man, I appreciate you coming in. You know, where you from, how you doing, all these things, you know, and there's a way to say you might want to, you know, take your lid, drop your lid, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, just in respect for the Lord.
Right.
You know, and then deal with the pants later on.
Right.
You know? And there's a way to do it. You have mm-hmm. you have to understand that this might be the only chance, opportunity that this person is going to have to really experience, you know, the love, someone reaching out of love.
Right.
We have an opportunity to reach out with them in love, and we come off the jump, you know, condemning them
right.
or judging them.
Right. Amen.
It's not a good thing, and none of us are perfect, and
nope.
none of us
still
are
growing.
Putting off, you know, where we are now, mm-hmm. and you know, we have to remember that. And so that's why James is a rough dude. he's just coming straight, and so when he starts going to the consequences of doing this in James 2, chapter 2, verse 4, there's consequences of this poor conduct. And so when we look at verse 4, it says, "Are ye not then partial in yourselves and are become judges mm-hmm. of evil thoughts?" In mm-hmm. other words, we put ourselves in the position of a judge.
Mm-hmm. Okay. God.
Yeah. It's like, how do we have the audacity to put ourselves, and this is what I'm talking about, Dr. C. How do we come up and have the audacity to do that? God didn't judge us.
No.
And then here comes somebody probably doing the same thing or less, you know, than we did, and here we are sitting in judgment. Look at him. Look at her.
But, you know, sometimes I think those positions and those titles go to our heads.
Yes.
That we forget where we've come. And that just like James, we're still servants.
Right.
You know, we might have a glorified title, but, you know, I tell folk all the time, you know, there is no job in my church that I can't do and that I
won't
do.
That's right. That's right.
For the longest time, I would just go to church, pick up paper, clean up, because that was just the thing to do.
Right.
Yeah.
But now it's hard to find folk that will do it just because.
Right.
They're getting paid for it.
Not true.
Have mercy. Got to be more careful. And so in verse 5, James says, "Hearken, my beloved." I love the way he says that.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's still being connected
and passionate, and he's talking to my beloved. You know, it's where he's talking to them in love and in sincerity and letting them know you're still my brother.
You're wrong.
But I'm going to tell you, you're wrong.
Hello. Exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
You're wrong.
It's sort of like, I hate to beat you behind, son.
But
I'm going to beat you behind because I love you. Bring me my belt.
Come on.
Oh, we can't do that no more. That's another topic.
Another day.
Another day, another night. But he says, "Hearken, my beloved brethren." He says, "Has not God," this is verse 4, verse 5, "has not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith?" In other words, so there's a trade-off.
Mm-hmm.
People that are poor in this world, they're rich in faith.
Amen.
They're trusting God.
Right.
Whereas people that are rich, they're trusting in that mighty dollar. Trusting in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So who's better off?
One that's trusting in God.
Amen.
Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go
just
through an
eye
of
a needle
than it is for a rich man to
get into heaven.
That's
what he's saying. Because a rich man thinks he's rich because of himself, and not because of God.
Yeah.
That's why. That's exactly why. And then it just life just passes him by, and it's like, oh, what did my money buy me? And a lot of times, money buys you trouble.
A whole lot of headaches.
Yeah.
Whole lot of headaches.
Ask Wall Street.
A whole lot of headaches.
2008. A whole bunch of them were jumping out.
Jump out the window.
Jumping out the window.
But when you look at it, he says, has not God chosen the poor to be rich in faith,
mm-hmm.
and that they're heir to the kingdom, and promised to them that love him. In other words, they depend on God.
Mm-hmm.
They're like the bird in the tree. No bird in the tree. He wake up every morning praising
making
God,
making all that noise,
praising God. Some Sunday mornings I get up, so I'm like, oh Lord, I don't feel like getting up. Bird talking about thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise him. Hallelujah. He tweet, tweet, tweet. Thanking God for that worm that he already got coming up out of that ground. Here I am sleeping in my nice bed, uh-huh. Air conditioned, heat, food in the refrigerator, car in the driveway, got a job. I'm tired. I don't feel like going to worship today. I know I'm the only one. I'm the only one.
Not hardly.
You are not by yourself.
I'm the only one. I'm the chief. Like Paul said, I'm the chief center.
You are not by yourself.
And the birdie out in the tree, he just chirping. Thank you, God.
That's right.
Right?
But we, because we have some form of intelligence, we think we're smarter than God.
Right.
So we know what's best for us.
Oh, my goodness. But it's simple because the bird, he has to depend on God. He has to depend on God for the seeds, the worms, everything. He has to depend on God. But we get up talking about, man, I done got a degree. I done went here. I done got this. I'm certified this. I'm certified that. Mm-hmm. I got this, that, and the other. I'm going to go get this, get that, get that. I live here. I do this. I drive this. I wear this.
I did it.
Right?
But let something bad happen. Lord, help me. Then when you get better again, put the Lord right back on the shelf.
Amen.
And that's the important things.
Yeah.
And so God says the poor man, he's got more faith than the rich guy.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he's got the kingdom of God. He's an heir to the kingdom of God because he's trusting in God.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he understands the kingdom principle. The kingdom principle is not to put your faith in man, but to put your faith in God.
That's
because
right.
God is Jehovah Jireh, our provider, and God is the one that provides us every breath and every step that
we
take.
That's right.
And so in verse 6, he says, but ye have despised, this is James 2, verse 6, but you have despised the poor. Do not the rich men oppress you and draw you before judgment seats? In other words, he said, you got a problem with the poor. You laugh and talk about him, but don't the rich jokers use and abuse you?
That's right.
Why does all the wealth of the United States go to the top 2% of,
right.
the, 2%, of the population?
A whole 2%.
Come on.
That's right, but everybody wants to be like them.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to get political. But why is it that the top 2% of the population got all the wealth?
They have all the wealth. Physical wealth.
Right.
Because most of them are miserable.
But not
spiritual
wealth.
Right. And given the choice,
but they got religion.
I take spiritual.
And they got religion.
But they got religion.
And they make laws to keep the poor oppressed.
Amen.
That's right. Yes, they do.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And so it's the same thing back then. It's the same thing now. And he said, "Now you're gonna patronize these rich folk, and they're the ones that's using and abusing.
Abuse you.
I'm not gonna get political.
Come on.
I'm not gonna do it.
It's obvious.
You don't have to say anything.
Amen.
Have to say a word. How is it? But those are the ones, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is because what it really boils down to is what you rather be rich in material things
or rich in spirit.
Spiritual things. That's what it boils down to.
That's the difference.
And so James is saying, look, you guys are cracking me up because you're looking foolish, judging people, thinking that the rich folk are going to help you out. One's taking all your money, bringing you to court, taking your money, making laws and stuff to take all your money. Got you out there looking stupid, talking about, yeah, we're going to make this law, but we're rich, so we got to be right.
Right.
No. That's not what we should be looking at. But they manipulate people. They put this facade of smoke and mirrors in your face.
Right.
To think they're going to do something for you. But at the end of the day, you sit there and left their hold in the bank.
Right.
Whatever they're going to do, they're doing for themselves.
Totally.
And then they'll lie and bring you. James 2:7, he says, do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? How many of those rich folk tell you, you just poor, you need a crutch.
Mm-hmm.
You just because you poor, that's why you call on Jesus. Jesus didn't do this. Jesus didn't buy me this. Jesus didn't go to school for me. Jesus didn't do this. Jesus didn't work for me. And they just blaspheming and talking about Jesus left and right.
Mm-hmm. Takes prayer out of school.
Mm-hmm. But then you need to go out and get a job.
They take prayer out of school.
And so The name you love, they talking about it, but you put them in high esteem.
Right, come on. Because you think you want to be like
the honorable, this from the honorable governor, the honorable senator, the honorable congressman, the honorable councilman, the honorable. And how many year after year after year after, I'm going to say it again, year, do these jokers end up getting caught?
Hello.
Come and in the cookie jar, taking your money.
Kickbacks.
Stuffing money in your garments. Flushing it down the toilet.
Right. Yeah.
Smoking it up.
Yeah.
Huh?
On front of the Washington Post.
Playing footsie in the bathroom.
With somebody else's wife.
The
taking pictures of yourself and sending it to young boys.
Then stand up there and say, oh, forgive me.
The honorable. So and so.
But we keep putting them back in the
office. But they'll have people. That would the one preacher in particular, the more than half the congregation was supporting. Was supporting it. And then I had all those preachers. Did you go down there to have a vigil for him to help him out of his difficult time? And he's still sitting down there in that big church, making all that money.
Didn't pay for it.
Probably still in the picture.
And fools are still following him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
Amen.
Verse 8.
But you blaspheme. He said you blaspheme the worthy name which you're called. So why are you putting so much confidence in people that blaspheme the name of Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
James is asking the question. He's like, what don't you understand? God's not a respecter of person.
Mm.
God loves to take care of those who need help. And you know, I can't get political, but I just heard that Congress was passing trying to pass a law that takes money away from those folks that need
food stamps. Yep. But they have plenty of food in the house up here too.
Rich folk.
Amen.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy. But get a job. You can live off minimum wage.
Mm-hmm. But they won't raise the minimum wage. Verse 8.
Yeah. Let's go to verse 8. Bible study for everyone and not a political organization.
This is correct.
But there's a moral
obligation
story here.
And we just said about taking care of the widows.
And that's the moral story. It's not political, that's moral.
Right.
Jesus is one who looked after your brother.
Right.
You know, if you look after your brother, there's certain things you're not going to do. When you see him in need, you're not going to do certain things.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right. You're not going to make them worse.
And so politics doesn't have anything to do with it.
Nope.
This is a moral thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at verse 8, it says, if you fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy, and there it is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
You do well.
In other words, the royal law is the great law that God has, the moral law of God, this royal law. He said what you should do is love your neighbor as yourself.
That's right.
Don't play partiality. Don't try to take advantage of people.
Mm-hmm.
Don't, you know, misrepresent God. Keep yourself unspotted. Take care of the young man that doesn't have a father. Take care of the young lady that lost her husband. Take care of making sure that you're consistent according to the word of God.
Right.
Don't speak
right.
and not live what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He said, don't get into the thing where you're showing favoritism to this guy and to this one and to this one because they're giving you kickbacks or they're giving you, you know, breaks or giving you favoritism.
Mm-hmm.
He said the moral law of God is to treat your neighbor as yourself. And that's a kingdom principle. Do unto others as you would have them
do unto you.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to get treated that way,
don't treat
somebody else that way.
Amen.
That's the moral law. That supersedes any law that Congress or
right.
any politician has.
Right.
That's what they need to get in their spirit.
That
we should be not just taking care of the rich
mm-hmm.
or this group or this constituency, everybody. But we need to take care of the entire room.
And it's not a cookie cutter thing. As far as taking care of and reaching and helping, you may need a different type of help than, say, Pastor needs or
right.
Jacinio or Brandon needs. So you have to meet people where they are. You can't just drop, okay, this is one big blanket thing. Okay, let's just throw it on everybody, and that's going to take care of everybody. It depends on what,
right.
no, it depends
right.
on what that person needs to
right.
get to where they need to be.
Right.
And that's what Christians need to do.
Right. Oh, my gosh, we haven't went to the phones yet. Let me see if we can go to the phones real quick and see if we get a couple of people. We got about 10 minutes. If we can go to 2122. 2122, you're on the air.
2122, happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday.
What do you think about this respected person?
Well, you know what, Pastor Kayshawn? We are to blame ourselves as children of God because we know that when people come in, no matter, there's a need there. And we need to meet that spiritual need as well as a need for clothing or if they're hungry. We need to get more involved in the community because we're looking at a reflection of ourselves.
Right.
It's just that
wow.
we chose, God chose to instill in us to draw us closer to Him. And we need to reach out and let people know that Jesus Christ is Lord and that He will take
Amen.
Care of all your needs.
Amen.
And this is not a sorority. So we can drop that sorority attitude that is only for a few.
I like that.
Yeah, we can just drop that sorority thing. It's not just for a few, it's for all who want this, who want salvation through Jesus Christ. And that's all I'm
Amen.
Saying.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, we thank you. We're going to get another caller. All right, let's go to 1211. 1211, you're on the air.
God bless y'all.
Hey,
hey,
how you doing?
God bless you.
Doing well. We here with Mom. And just want to remind all of us to remember Matthew 7,
mm-hmm.
right at the beginning, where Jesus said, stop judging mm-hmm. others, and you'll not be judged.
That's
all right.
Right.
And then, of course, we're reminded about the rich man and Lazarus.
That's right.
Yeah.
Jesus said there was a certain rich man who was splendid in the way he was dressed and lived each day in luxury. But then he ended
I'm
up
sure.
in Hades. And the poor beggar named Lazarus ended up in paradise.
That's
right.
And a rich man said, Brother Abraham, help me. And he said, no, there's a chasm separating us. We can't cross to you. You can't cross to us. So we should heed what James said when he's teaching what the Lord had taught him. God bless
Amen.
Y'all so
Amen.
Much.
God bless so
Amen.
Much.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Hi, Pastor Kayshawn and First Lady Gabriel.
Hey.
Pastor
God bless
Gabriel.
You.
God bless
Hello.
You all. That's one thing I love about God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Just sum it up, make it real simple. the word said, whosoever will. Let him come. And Jesus mm-hmm. said, I will no wise turn him back or cast him out. And that's what I love about them. They, if your heart is right, they look on
mm-hmm.
the heart. And their main concern is the heart of the person. So whosoever
right.
accept him and believe him, then
mm-hmm.
they love that person. And they say it. And that's one thing that man can never divide, never be able
right.
to say when it comes down to salvation.
Mm-hmm.
All cultures, rich and poor, no matter who you are, God gave them all a soul. And all
that's
of them
right.
have that opportunity to be saved. And salvation
mm-hmm.
is free to whoever
Amen.
Wants.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Free. It's a free gift. And that shows you that God has no respect to person.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you very much. All right, let's go to 7878. 7878.
Hello. Good evening.
Hello. What do you think about respect in person?
I believe that with respect to person, that there is none, that God just created us all equal, and that when you come into the house of the Lord, you need to the person needs to feel welcome, and whatever that, you know, the church is a hospital for sick people, because we wouldn't be there if it wasn't. And
that's right.
So we all have something. We all have something. It doesn't make a difference how big or how small. We all have something. And we all have a need. And only God can fulfill that need. Man can't fulfill it.
That's right.
And, you know, also the church is within us. So, you know, we have to spread the joy however we can among God's people, those who are willing to listen and those who may not be willing to listen. But, you know, like Minister Lindsay said, it's a free choice. It's a choice. And all of us make choices every day. Some good, not so good. But it's a choice. It's a choice to be a part of God's family. And that's
Amen.
It.
Amen.
Amen.
So thank you very much. We're going to go to our next caller, 5666. Are you there, 5666? Hello? All right, we're going to go to the next one, 7971. 7971, you're on air.
Good evening, everybody. It's good to hear everybody and to discuss respect to person.
Mm-hmm.
The key to it, as I always say, Jesus loves us, and he loves us all. And he doesn't pick and choose. You are who you are. And we as Christians are supposed to think the same way. And if we take that attitude and live up to God's word, regardless to who it is, we have to accept them for who they are and what they are.
Right. Amen.
And love them. And we must live the kind of life in front of them to let them know that God lives in all of us. The Holy Spirit is there, and we should always conduct ourselves and live that life that God wants us to live. And then we will, by us setting that example, it makes people feel welcome. It makes people feel loved. And they have the desire and zeal to come out and worship with you. And God, if you know anything about his word, you know that is one of the big ones. We have to love one another.
Amen.
Thank you.
Regardless.
All right. thank you. We thank our callers, but we're just about out of time. And we're gonna leave with this verse 9, James chapter 2, verse 9. He says, "But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin."
Mm.
James just put it simple like that. You commit sin, are convinced of the law as transgressors. So in other words, he's saying it's not right.
Right.
Bottom line, it's not right.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't do it. You know, it's no big sins, no small sins.
Amen.
You know, every sin is considered, you know, transgressions or unrighteousness in the sight of God. And next week, but we should really start looking at ourselves, Sheila G, Dr. G, and really understanding that, you know, some things we might do we're not even aware of, you know, unconsciously sometimes we do stuff like respect a person, you know, but we really have to, as Christians, really begin to do some self-examination inside the church, on our jobs, wherever we may be. Because God says it's sin, and we're not really demonstrating the true love of Christ when we're showing respect to person, when we're not living according to the word of God, when we're not taking care of what God has instructed us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what James really gets practical and says, take a look at yourself. Mm-hmm. Take a look at the word of God. See how you measure up. Make the changes through the power of the Holy Spirit so we can represent God better, because he's looking for that church without spot or wrinkle.
Amen.
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 All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. I'm going to ask Dr. G to close us out in prayer, and we'll see you all, talk to you all on next week.
Amen. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you, O Lord. We thank you for another evening, O Lord, in your word. We thank you for those that have come out. We thank you for those that have called in. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to study your word, to get a better understanding of what it is that you're saying to us through the writers of your word. Now, Lord, help us that we might take that word and let it sink in, that we might be made better for it today than what we were yesterday. Lord, we thank you for this Bible study. We thank you for all that we gained from it. And Lord, I pray that as we continue to go forward, that it will not be boring, that it will be about what you want. Yeah. It's not of us, but it is of you. And Lord, we pray now that you would grant us traveling mercies as we leave here. For we ask it all right now in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
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 Good night, everyone. Have a good weekend.
Ugh.